Welcome to Disruptive Branding by Saffron Brand Consultants. In this podcast, we will share the most important insights that we have gathered from several decades of working closely with some of the world's most disruptive brands. We will show how every business, startup to enterprise, can design its brand using disruptive thought and action. From how-to sessions with members of our executive team to conversations with our clients, learn firsthand how to position your brand to compete with disruptive challenges and to challenge and disrupt yourself. On today's episode of our Life at Saffron series, we're joined by Nye Musa, one of our program managers here at Saffron. Welcome, Nye.
Thank you.
So, what do you do at Saffron?
I'm a senior program manager here at Saffron in our Madrid office, and I'm basically responsible for all aspects of project delivery, managing and building client relationship, helping them with the day-to-day, but also finding long-term opportunities with them, also working internally together with the team, strategy and design teams, and also just responsible for overall project success, so a little bit of everything.
Amazing. And so how did you get into the world of branding?
I had some really good professors here where I studied at IE Business School who really got me into this world. And one of them in particular became my advisor and mentor when I was working on my thesis, my undergraduate thesis, which was actually about iconic brands and the case of Barbie. So, so that's something that I was really passionate about. I mean, yeah, that's really what got me into branding was this specific piece of work on Barbie.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you've been at Saffron not for that long, actually. Has it been a few months?
It's been now, I think it's been 4 months, 5 months, something
wow.
like that.
Yeah. Time flies.
I know.
When you're having fun.
I know.
So why did you choose Saffron?
So for me, the one thing that I really loved about Saffron, which is actually really hard to find here in Spain, is how international it is in terms of team, in terms of clients. Just at the top of my head, I could say that right now I'm working with Spaniards, Brits, a Canadian, that's here at Saffron, and plenty more nationalities around. And clients, I have one in Singapore, one in Saudi Arabia, one in the States. So just that very international aspect is something that I think is really hard to find here in Spain. And it's something that I'm very drawn to because I have a very international background myself. That's really my favorite thing. And that's what drew me to Saffron, apart from the amazing work, of course.
Yeah. And what's been your favorite project so far?
So I can't say the name, but I can say that it is my project that is based in Saudi Arabia. And I think any project from there is just really exciting just because the country is booming right now, growing. They're doing some really amazing things for their country, for their people. And this project that I'm working on is one of those projects that's just contributing to the country and the people. So yeah, that's my favorite project.
Amazing. So top secret stuff.
Yes.
That you can't. Do you have do you guys use like code names?
We do. I think everybody at Saffron uses kind of code names. A lot of acronyms, right?
Here at Saffron. A lot of code names. And when is this project gonna set to launch?
The project itself should launch towards the end of summer, so I think in August. So our part of the work, but the actual
concept
that they're building. That's going to take some time. So, yeah.
Interesting. And do projects usually take that long to actually come into realization, or what's an average project length that you've experienced?
I feel like it just depends on how complex the organization is and how complex the organization is and how complex the project is. Yeah, it just depends. Hard to say.
And do you guys, the program manager role is quite a tricky one because you've got to manage, obviously, like the timelines as well as kind of managing all these different moving parts. So, and it's also something that you don't necessarily like study, university. You don't go to university and study program management in the same way you don't necessarily go and study strategy.
Yeah.
So what sort of skills do you think you need to kind of join the program managing team?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, I did not study thinking that I would end up being a project or program manager. But I think the skills you need are, well, number one, you have to be a team player for sure. I mean, you're dealing with all different stakeholders, both client side and Saffron side as well. So you're working with a strategy team, design team, and just different levels within the organization. And I think as well, as you mentioned, I mean, this is not something you can learn. This is something that you just learn as you go along. So definitely need to be flexible, be able to adapt, because you could have a timeline and a beautiful to-do list and Excel sheet and all of that prepared at the very beginning of a project, and then everything just completely derails. So you have to just know how to manage that and adapt to it. So
yeah, it's definitely a lot of adapting. And so if somebody were to, you know, somebody's thinking, okay, check, they're all the kind of things that I enjoy and that I think I'm good at, do you have any kind of tips for people wanting to get into this role?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, just knock on a lot of doors. You're going to get a lot of people that are very willing and happy to help, but also a lot of setbacks as well. And I know that from experience. And also just testing out the waters, trying out different places, doing some internships. So I actually started my career doing an internship in a fashion house here in Madrid. Then moved to doing another internship at an advertising agency, all completely unpaid, by the way. and then I ended up in this industry and I realized that this is, you know, what I really love. So yeah, I did luck out that I got to, you know, move into this industry early and realize that I love it early on. But yeah, that's what I would recommend. Yeah. LinkedIn, a lot of LinkedIn messages. Yeah.
Love LinkedIn, and yeah, it's about giving it a go, isn't it? You never know until you actually try. You'll never know if it suits you or not.
Yeah.
And then, do you have any sort of, for those people who are gonna, you know, trying to get into this world, what kind of resources do you have? Any like websites that you read to stay, not necessarily in program management, but kind of on top of things in the branding world?
I feel like so. This is me. I'm not at all a nerdy person. I mean, okay, it's not that if you read a lot of news or go to a lot of resources, you're a nerdy person, but I'm a very social media person. So a lot of TikTok, a lot of Instagram, but I do feel like that's a great place to see what brands are up to.
Social media is the new search engine.
Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like that's a great place to just see how brands are engaging with, I mean, younger audiences, not only younger audiences, all audiences. I think, I think that's a great place to see how they've adapted to this kind of new reality, and how they're going about evolving their brand to make sense in this new world. And
absolutely. I think it's just, you know, having like putting a brand lens on, and kind of then you suddenly start looking at everything in a different way. You know, you're walking down the street and you see a billboard and suddenly you're like, oh, how's the brand? Like, how are they making brand work? Yeah. Or, you know, you're reading a book or an article and suddenly you see brands. As soon as you get in your head into the branding world, you're kind of constantly thinking with that lens.
Yeah.
And then finally, a question that we ask everyone in this series is about, we're kind of trying to demystify the world of branding. Mm-hmm. So our question is, what did you think was true of branding that you now know is false?
So I think this is an obvious one. I think it's the one that most people think about, but it really is the one that stands out to me the most, which is that, I mean, a brand is not a logo, right? And the reason I say this is because whenever I'm on a project for a new client and we get to the part where we see how brand strategy is translated into design, I'm always wowed and I love it. And that's my favorite part in the whole process, because when you're just walking on the street and you see brands, or you're scrolling through your social media and you see a brand, you don't think about what has gone behind that.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nai.
Thank you.
It was great to get your insight, and tune in for more episodes of the Disruptive Branding Podcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Disruptive Branding. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe and do leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It helps other brand lovers to find us.